Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Hey, welcome back to another episode here on the Introspective Podcast. My name is Jake Anderson. I'm your host. And today we are going to dive into some interesting topics, specifically around understanding really how to create significance and tying that into the whole business world. I know that there's been a lot of changes with everything that's happened with the pandemic and just the way the world has just changing and really talking about building brands kind of in this new era that we're in. And today I am joined by special guest Courtney Lukic, who is the owner of Gotham PR, one of the first multidisciplinary boutique firms in New York focused on arts and entertainment, architecture and design, arts and advocacy, development and real estate with clients in 30 countries and 30 cities in North America. Courtney is a Forbes Council member and published author with her new book, Creating Significance, which we are going to cover on this interview. So without further ado, I welcome Courtney to the show. Courtney, how are you doing today?
Good. That's quite an introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's impressive to hear that you have, I mean, you really have a global footprint. I mean, before we were speaking, you know, on when we were speaking on the pod or before the podcast had started, before we started recording, you know, I know that we live in a time where I guess technically we're all online and we can be global because we have the technology, but you actually have physical footprints, you know, throughout the world. So tell me a little bit about just, let's just start there. Like being that you have such a presence on a global scale, like how have businesses been able to innovate, you know, throughout the globe through your experience, just through these interesting times that we're in?
I think the lockdown certainly proved to give people a lot of extra time and shift their focus. I think you and I, before we started recording, were touching on how we both shifted our perspective to look at significance versus success. And I think the difference between significance and success is building something that has lasting value, that really underscores your values and utilizes best principles to build a lasting brand or reputation. And that's been very much my experience over close to 20 years of owning and operating my own firm. And I think it's fascinating because I've never solicited business, and yet clients in 30 countries and 30 cities in North America find us. And I think a lot of that is due to the internet and making yourself not only searchable, but living in a visual culture where branding is so paramount, providing solutions, creative ones, moreover, to thinkers who really are quite courageous and want to really be first in category. And if you look at our client roster over the past, I guess we're in our 19th year now, they are all first in category for whatever it is they do. And sometimes we had to create a category that didn't exist. Now they call that disruption. They didn't call it that 20 years ago. So it's just, it's a constantly evolving arena. And I think that's what makes it exciting. I would love to be a startup right now, quite frankly.
So I'm curious, like you have all these companies you work with, they're first in category. That's really interesting to hear because, I think a lot of people when they're trying to like kind of break into a market or they're getting started, it's like finding ways to differentiate themselves that puts them in that position to kind of, you know, be that, sit on that pedestal on that category to be at the top. So like, what's the commonality between these companies that really puts them at that first rank?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's really what the book Creating Significance is about. It's for entrepreneurs of all stripes who will have the benefit of lessons that I didn't have when I first started my own practice, of doing a positioning audit and defining a niche. And really, it is that kind of niche orientation, I think, that allows you to build a successful brand or business. And you know that from your own experience mm-hmm. as an expert podcaster, helping other podcasters sort of define their own channels. So being an expert, I think, in multi-channel marketing, I think people hear the word PR and they think it's only about press, but it's really about business development, strategy, positioning, branding, and the coalescence of building out a very successful multi-channel marketing plan to help a brand grow and drive and scale. It sounds more complex than it is when you're first starting out, but when you take it step by step, it actually is fundamental to every business. So while our clients are certainly don't compete with each other, there is a unique aspect to each one of them, which encouraged me to take them on as clients in the first place. Mm. And sometimes I say no more than I say yes to signing on a client, because I need to make sure they're going to be as successful as the investment of time and resources we place into them as well.
So what do you, like, when you're qualifying clients, because anybody that's ever been in like a, especially in, before we talked, as you know, like I was in a service provider role, and I remember, through that, there was this, like anytime I would onboard or enroll a client that just wasn't a good fit, it almost made you just want to like leave your business, because it was such a, especially like something like what you do in PR. I mean, that's such a close relationship that you have. So it's really important that you make sure that you enroll the right people into your world and how you work with them. So like, what are some of the qualifiers that you think about when it comes to enrolling the right people to work with?
That's really spot on. I mean, we interview our clients as much as they interview us. Mm. I look to who their clients are. And again, if they're a startup, it really is sort of a temperature check as to how I assess whether or not we'll be able to work well together and succeed. So some of that is being willing to take direction. I think that when you hire an expert, you should follow the expert's guidance, because they are providing you the best that they have in their skill set or wheelhouse. So I think sometimes there is a tendency to want to second guess, or I don't want to say undermine efforts, but those are the clients that it's not going to be a successful engagement. And it is a process. So giving the process time to succeed. I think it's really interesting in this media culture, because you see so much fluff and sort of infotainment published. And there's certainly a lot of sponsored media, but to really earn media, which is a third party critical endorsement, you know, from a paper of record like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, there's a lot of diligence that goes into each one of those features. And sometimes it can take 3 months. Sometimes it can take 6 months. Sometimes it can take upwards of a year. And that's a lot different than just posting something on Instagram with a bunch of hashtags. So, it's a completely different arena, right? So, I mean, all these businesses that are launching on Instagram, I mean, good for them. That's wonderful. But it's really all in the mix. And I think you can attest to that as a podcaster, that now podcasting is really at the forefront. And as we all know, radio is not exactly a new medium, but podcasting really came out of the vlogging and webcasting world, and is this really interesting admixture. And now that people have time to spend listening to ideas and want to be inspired to innovate, it's now one of the number one channels for marketing, which I find fascinating personally.
Yeah, it's you know, and I think what's really cool, oh gosh, I could geek out on podcasting all day, as you know, it's certainly, there's so many benefits to it, but even like right now we are producing a podcast interview and highlighting your message, you know, serving an audience and providing that value. But then there's also, you know, the connection, the relationship, getting to know people, building your network. And there's all kinds of things that kind of spark off of podcasting. But one thing that that you had mentioned, because you talk about earned media, and especially like if you want to get published in the New York Times or whatever, some publication, how established does somebody need to be? Is there any kind of a benchmark or benchmarks that people need to be thinking about when it comes to getting published? Like, because I know I've had conversations with people and they're like, yeah, I really want to get published in Forbes, or I really want to get published in whatever this publication is. And, but they're like, I feel like I need to get my website done, and I got to get my pieces done, you know, all these things together before I even start pursuing it. I mean, is that the case, or like, when is a good time to start reaching out and thinking about, you know, getting in front of these other publications for earned media?
Yeah, that's a number one highly valued question. I would say that if you're going to launch as a brand, you obviously have to invest in visual identity and create the branding and have a website presence. You have to be searchable, right? And so if you just have an Instagram account, even a really wildly flourishing one, I had a client that came to me from the UK, a prospect who developed a really cool product, and he wanted to do a lot of entrepreneurial press around himself, and yet he didn't have that other piece ready. In other words, you have to be able to leverage some success stories or talk about who the intended audience is. I do think it favors startups to be in the press, quite frankly, if you're looking at a Fast Company or a Forbes, certainly easier than some of the more established companies, truthfully, because that's their core demographic. And to your point, you have entrepreneurs listening to this podcast in the way that they have entrepreneurs reading their publication. So an Inc. and an Entrepreneur magazine and a Fast Company is probably going to be the best venue, a Mashable, CNET, those kind of publications or platforms to get into. Currently, I'm getting ready to, in the second quarter, we're launching numerous platforms because we've been building out UX for a company called Aluna.com, and they're in beta right now. So I encourage everybody to sign on. And it's a global education platform. So if you have a skill as a teacher, or if you're a student that needs one-on-one tutoring, you can sign on to it in real time anywhere in the world and get experts. And that will include, you know, teachers who are out of work or students who are disgruntled and their parents can't afford an expensive tutor to help them with their exams, all the way up to celebrity chefs. And if somebody has an audition and they want to talk to our client, Hill Harper, who's an actor on The Good Doctor, they can have access to him. And he's actually on our board. So there's all kinds of sort of exciting things, to your point, that are opening up universally in a way that borders don't matter because of the internet.
That, now, let me, I want to make sure I get this link right. You says Aluna.com.
Yeah, it's spelled A-L-U-N-N-A, and that means student in Italian.
Perfect. All right. Well, I will make sure that's linked up in the show notes, and anybody that's looking to seek this out, especially in beta, you always get a little bit extra in beta, a little bit extra treatment.
Yes, you do.
So take advantage of that. It's A-L-U-N-N-A.com.
That's right.
Got it.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. So I want to get into talking a little bit more about really this idea of creating significance and the difference between understanding the real difference between significance and success. And from there, I'd like to kind of pull that into talking a little bit more about your book, but let's just start there. Like the difference between significance and success, what does that mean to you?
Well, again, significance is lasting. A success might be a temporary win. But when you're looking to build a legacy or business of value or brand of value, I don't know. And again, this may differ from, you know, person to person or entrepreneur to entrepreneur. But when you get into it, I don't know that you're looking to get out immediately. Right. So the idea is to build something of lasting value and worth. And to your point, if you're going to put so much into it, particularly as a service provider, because direct to consumer is probably the hottest category there is right now, you definitely want to make the most of that significant experience. So what we're seeing is companies that have values, whether it's sustainability, which again is should be the leading determinant for pretty much any business or brand at this point on the planet, but one that is not based on what I would call sort of dated values. So this significance aspect comes into not necessarily being self-promotional or self-aggrandizing, but it's about engagement, right? So there's a bigger conversation there. No pun intended, since we're on a podcast, but it really is about engagement and pulling people into that dynamic. It's not a one-way exchange. Let's put it that way.
So it's the two-way relationship.
That's
what you're speaking to here, is that two-way relationship that's created. And, you know, I get really curious about how people promote themselves online and how they kind of do, you know, handle their marketing and their content online. And even just with my own content, I've noticed that brands that just everything's about their company and their product and their service, the engagement's it's a ghost town. It's like nobody, you might see a little bit of engagement. And I've always looked at, this is something recent, because I'm always like, you know, how do you define this? Like, I always think about engagement as like movement. It's like, how much movement can you get, you know, within a piece of content? So if you post something and you get a few likes, and, you know, just so you get likes, like, that's a form of movement, right? But it's very different. Like, I love content. You know, have you ever like put out a post or seen a post and people are actually having conversations inside the thread
within your thread?
Yes. That's a completely different. And then you have people that might put, this is amazing, fire emoji or whatever. And they put little comments like that. But it's just, you know, you look at it and I see like measuring the success of that content based on the level of movement that's created within the threads or on that piece. Like, are they sharing it and talking about it? So that is that kind of that movement within the content and how they're putting themselves out there, creating that relationship. It's a two-way relationship.
Very much so. It should aim to inspire and educate. I mean, we work with some of the biggest thinkers in the world. I mean, these are people who are planning entire cities around the world, not least of which we worked with so many deemed essential workers, designers, architects, construction contractors, people during the pandemic, given the housing boom, that when they post blueprints or ideas for reconciling really complex challenges, you see the level of engagement go up because it's so valuable. It's not just a pretty picture of a pretty room, right? It's showing people infrastructurally what goes into building something from the ground up or rescuing something from a, you know, infrastructure disaster like plumbing, or how you completely renovate a full, you know, apartment building in real time, or a house due to historic preservation code. So I find those to be kind of much more interesting than what we call vanity press. And to your earlier point, I think people follow people. That seems to be the new operating norm in media. And I think that's true. Like, you'll follow your favorite writers. You'll follow your favorite podcasters. Will you necessarily follow the business as such? I think we are engaging more on the human level more than ever before. And that, I think, is largely driven by pandemic, and also because everybody's kind of zoomed out. I mean, it gets to the point where you just sort of see shapes at a certain point. You know, it's a very, it's not a super warm medium. Not that the internet is either. It's considered to be kind of a cold medium. It's just very functional. So I'm going to be very interested to see what happens, you know, once everybody is moving forward into the next phase of our economy and interaction. I don't think Zoom's going anywhere because of the sheer convenience. But I do think, you know, if you look at subscription levels for magazines, newspapers, podcasts, films, books, they're all exploding because people are taking the time that they spent commuting and doing all these other things and putting them into learning and experiencing and feeling on a new level. And I think that translates to business leadership as well. I think this will be a time that requires a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. I think business has always required a lot of risk taking, like no risk, no reward, and the sort of big T temperament to be a thrill seeker to a certain extent. You know, when you start a business, it's almost like the most important relationship you have in your life because you put so much into it. So I think we're going to see this evolution, and it's already happening in real time out of necessity, right? Because I think the way that people were doing things, it's just, you know, it plateaued, and now we're on the precipice of doing things in an entirely new way.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You have to, I think that human level, like you speak to, is what was missing. It seemed like for a lot of brand experience, you know, online it's interesting, again, going back to what I was saying earlier with regards to just kind of like being very curious about how people handle their content. Just like anybody listening right now, like, go and just look at, or even test this yourself. Like, I have just like the power of telling stories in a way that connects with your audience is unbelievable. And it's like, it doesn't need, you know, like, that's almost, it almost feels like that's the new brand, right? It's like, yes, being able to, like, I have my most engaging posts have been literally just me, like, talking about a story that's kind of personal, but it also hooks into like what I'm doing in my life and my business. And it's just like, pfft, like people were just talking and commenting and having this like this level engagement. And it's just a little thing. It's like, I want to put this out there, see how it impacts. And like, I guess it makes things feel more approachable. Maybe. And I mean, what do you think? Like I think
in the design world, we call that human scale.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what you're alluding to. And so, you know, we went through the era of big tech and a focus on sort of this mass adoption to all these different platforms and apps, and certainly the secret channels that are proliferating now or by invitation like Clubhouse. And so I think this one-on-one is sort of going back to the future, so to speak, right? Where people want to hear authenticity and they want to hear proven. I mean, I can't tell you how many experiences I have with Uber drivers. I could write a whole book on these incredibly meaningful conversations we have as we're traveling around the country and around the world together, because of there's an intimacy there that isn't filtered by any kind of artifice, because we're just strangers talking. And so it's always actually kind of fascinating, and I always learn a lot.
That would be a cool book, Conversations with Uber Drivers, you know? Because I mean, you're right. It depends on what, cause some of them have, like some of them are very open with things. And, you know, by the time you, especially if it's like a little bit of a longer commute and it's like a 20 or 30 minute drive. And by the end of it, it's like, I feel like we should exchange phone numbers maybe, like, you seem like a best friend right now, but yeah, I see what you're saying. And there's certainly, it's really interesting. And I think this is good change.
Yes. Like, very much so.
This is really positive change. And this is something I think our world needs unity and connection now more than ever. So I like to know, it's good to know that in the corporate world, in the business world, especially like what you're seeing with some of these larger companies, they're actually starting to kind of embrace that idea. And I think that's going to really help, you know, just our society. And I'm not really sure what looks like.
I think the realness and the authenticity you speak to invites a lot of people who haven't been able to participate into the system. And that's everywhere from, you know, investors to people trading stocks to educating populations that are kind of left out of the banking system. Yeah. You know, there's still a big segment in our own society that, you know, have been kind of disenfranchised. So I see that shifting. I see that sort of boat turning in the water in real time, and it's very exciting and necessary.
So let's hear about the book. Like, tell me about like what can somebody, and it's called Creating Significance.
Yeah, how to design your life's work. So it's about making choices. And also, I think there are so many resources available today that weren't available when I was starting my business. And I just kind of wish I had it distilled with case studies into a format that I think is very usable. And that really is my intent. And again, I'm working with these great companies. So it's really fascinating to illustrate the startups, you know, from a 25-year-old entrepreneur to somebody who's been in business at 5 years and what they've managed to do. It really is quite significant. Typically, most businesses, as you could probably attest to, require about 10 years in to really reap the benefits. I think sometimes people think it's easier than it is. But that's not to say that it isn't easier now than it was traditionally, again, because I think the market has shifted. You have very sophisticated consumers. They know what they want, why they want it, and how to find it. And that's largely driven by the internet. So, again, as a sort of multimedia expert with a background in technology, I'm always interested in new business platforms. And so I think that maybe was a differentiator for me and my own business, is that people understood that I could understand models and how to scale their business, right? So, I mean, promotion on its own, to your point, on a podcast or press is not enough to really drive a business. That's just one component, right? Yeah. So it's that constant, as you say, cultivation of a network, always be developing opportunity, have this courage to know that one day is never going to be like the next, which I personally think is a great thing. You know, you have to be adept at change, right? It's really all about change management right now.
So what, like, what are you, you talk about like the choices that you make and thinking about that business owner or executive or entrepreneur, what have you, that's 25 years in. And then you think about the person who's just getting started. What's the disparity in decisions and choices that people make between those two people, right?
Like, I love this question because I do work with multi-generational corporations and succession plans. And it really is interesting to see. And like in my arena, people will work way into their 70s, sometimes even 80s. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in PR, but like in architecture and some of the more infrastructural type engineers, those kind of firms, versus the younger. I think, you know, people always talk about this sort of culture clash of the 25-year-old versus the 65 or 75-year-old. If anything, I see there's a mentoring relationship that goes on where one teaches the other, and it's actually kind of wonderful to see. To your earlier question about positioning, I think once an entire organization undergoes a positioning audit or exercise, everybody kind of gets on the same strategy roadmap. I think that definitely helps. Obviously, the younger ones are so adept at digital because they're digital natives. And it's been really fascinating for me to see the companies that were so resistant to engaging in social and multi-channel marketing are now running their own podcasts, and they've got in-house filming studios, and they're posting to Instagram stories every day, and they're hosting LinkedIn webinars. And for me, I just feel like I want to pat myself on the back because I had to fight all those hard fights to like get them to embrace it, the, you know, decision makers, the C-level. So seeing a company evolve in real time and doing it not only within sort of the course of 6 to 12 months, but embracing it as a whole culture change. There are numerous examples of major, major companies and firms that I've been involved with to do that. And sometimes it's almost like you're fighting the client to help themselves. It's really a very unusual dynamic. Whereas with the startups, it's like candy. It's so easy because you don't have to explain hardly any of that. It's so intuitive because they've grown up with it. They're very savvy to advertising, marketing, right, Self-promotion, and they don't have a problem being on camera. I mean, I think there's whole generations where they were like, no, I don't want to be self-promotional. That's sort of against our brand DNA. And now, of course, if you don't promote, you get lost in the noise, right? So you have to have a presence. You have to engage. And that's not, again, going back to my message, it's a two-way dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation.
Do you think people who have established these business brands that are, mm-hmm, you know, very, you know, well-known in their own right, do you think it's important for, I guess, whoever you would consider like a, let's just say Steve Jobs, you know, if he was still alive, like Steve Jobs and Apple, right? Steve Jobs is very much so was the face of Apple as Tim Cook is now. Do you think that Steve, I think we need to work on your personal brand. Do you think a personal brand should be something that is built in conjunction with the business brand? Does that make sense as a question? Because I'm kind of curious.
I think he was the brand to a large extent. So maybe he's not the right example. I think when a company gets that big, yes. And also because he gave life to it, certainly. I think it does help to have a face to the name, certainly. And most companies, particularly in the creative fields, you know, arts and entertainment, that's the expectation, is that you would always be front and center, and that the name of the company is almost secondary. And then, as a matter of fact, a lot of people name the company after themselves. And then there's a whole other category of people that just want to be behind the camera. And that's largely been me too, my whole career, because I'm so busy working on so many facets of other people's businesses that I wasn't incredibly self-promotional. But working with coaches, they encourage me, you know, pursue these podcasts and opportunities that you secure for your clients all the time, because it only makes sense when you're trying to share information that you put yourself forward. So that's why we're here today.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a follow-up question now, because this is something that, as you know, like I recently went through a business sale, and I remember going through that business sale, I remember one of the things that was important to that was a something that was highly considered by the buyer. So anybody who is building a business, like, because I think thinking about, like, even though you're starting out, at least having it somewhere in your mind, like, what does that exit strategy mean?
That's look right, like? Absolutely.
Like, so if you as the person is so attached to that brand, in order for it to feel complete, being able to sell that business becomes more challenging. So, and I'm not sure, like, this was like just something that just kind of hit me as we're talking about this, was like, well, you know, I certainly agree everything here. I think that having that presence, and even especially like you said, in arts and entertainment, a lot of their companies are named after them. But, you know, I just wonder, I'm just kind of thinking openly about this, is like, what's the exit strategy for that person? Because I don't know. I mean, can you sell that business? Is that a business that you can even sell? And I'm not even sure if this is something that you've even had experience in, but it just makes me kind of think about that.
Yes. I mean, again, I've had so many offers to buy my firm, and probably at some point I will. But likewise, I've also trained so many proteges and talent that if they didn't go off and join, you know, start their own company or join some bigger brands, which many of them have, they're entrepreneurs in their own right, which, you know, I take a lot of pride in. So most likely that's what will happen, is a couple of people that I know are at, you know, the vice president level at major companies will probably take over my firm at some point. And, you know, I'll continue consulting, but as you know, running a global business is pretty intense. But yeah, there, to your point, there's a market for agencies, and particularly one with a footprint like this. I just happen to grow up around the world, so I'm interested in working in a more complex manner than I could add as easily as I did at the beginning of my practice, just keep it to New York City clients only. But now we're seeing LA is really booming. The West Coast in general is. Florida certainly is, as I mentioned, because we opened another office.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Yeah, it's the exit is always, is you start to learn a lot of things that, you know, as you go through the exit of a business that you weren't really quite sure about. And I remember, you know, when I was going through mine, it's like having your processes really documented, like really selling a business. And I think that really comes in play. So let's kind of circle back around, because now we're getting closer to the end of time here. And I want to talk about just to talk a little bit more about your book. Where can people find your book? Like, how can people get connected with you?
Okay, I will give you that. First of all, the book is going to publish this summer, so I just want to put that out there.
Okay,
it's not 100% available. I am publishing articles at Forbes on the topic, so I certainly will publish that. Look for me on LinkedIn. I have a very healthy network, and I'm always growing it. It's a great place to network, to your point, on my LinkedIn profile, because I do have so many big decision makers and journalists and all kinds of interesting people there. And again, you can just find me. My email is very simple. It's Courtney@GothamPR.com. I answer every email. I don't flag it out to an assistant. And I really do try to help people who ask me questions. We have a very healthy, established internship program. And once we decide what we're doing about going forward with being in office again, we'll be hiring people probably in the fall. So,
okay.
In all the offices.
Any particular positions that you want to plug in here for anybody that might be
interested? Account supervisors. Again, we signed, I tripled the business over the pandemic, which I know seems counterintuitive, but that's what happened. And so I spent a lot of time on business development during lockdown. And so, you know, heading into 2022, I'm already sort of mentally there. And so
tripling the business during the pandemic. You know, I think some people, and you're certainly an example of this, really, you know, sought out the opportunity from this.
Right. And it goes back to always be cultivating opportunities for development, right? So it goes into that courageousness. But I think also the fact that I was on an airplane every 3 days and constantly in meetings with clients, like the lockdown forced me to go onto Zoom and not have to travel so much. And so I just harnessed that and got really focused. So it was saved time for me that I put back into the business, and I was able to help more people ultimately.
So we all have this extra time now because those commutes are taken out of the equation. So the decision becomes, what do you do with that time? You know,
that's right.
You know, are you going to actually use it for something productive, put it back into, you know, developing your business, the things that really move the needle for your business?
Right.
You know, are you going to do the endless scroll on Instagram? Are you going to,
right. I attended many important conferences, everything from Fast Company to Inc. 5000. I get invited to fascinating webinars almost every day, if not every other day. And I try to at least carve out an hour or two to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And obviously always reading and so forth.
Perfect. Yeah.
Enjoy it. I like the engagement.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's been nice to be able to, in a way, things have slowed down, but in some ways they've sped up. Like, because I feel like the internet things just, I actually remember listening to a podcast by James Wedmore. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not, but he was saying that, like, he's like in internet years. He kind of calls, like, he almost relates internet years to dog years. It's like, it's like, you know, one internet year feels like 5 years because things move so fast when you're online. And I remember thinking, it's like, oh my gosh, like in this past year, I feel like I've been able to accomplish more being online in terms of relationship building and connections, because you're just so, your ability to connect with people is instantaneous. Like, there is no getting in a car or flying to get to the person or to the people. You can just click the Zoom link and there you are, or go live and there you are, or attend some, you know, virtual, you know, webinar, what have you, and there you are. And so things seem to have been moving very quickly, but at the same time, you're able to take so much time back, you know, from those communities.
No, it's interesting. I presented with the head of Google's social media division last year. Her name's Jenna Clark. Right before lockdown, we were in Miami and I just reconnected with her recently. And she said, gosh, that seems like that was 25 years ago, because imagine working at Google, what that's been like this past year. I can only imagine.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I definitely see that. Well, listen, this has been just fantastic. I really appreciate you coming on to the show and sharing your message and talking about the importance of significance and really defining what that means. And I'm excited about the release for your new book, and definitely keep me posted on that, because I want to help you.
I'll
promote.
Be sending you a copy.
Let me know how I can help support in that mission. And I'll even go back, like, for anybody, when you do have your book go out, I'll even go back, because by that time I'll have my website for the podcast really humming and everything will be nice and organized. This is being recorded as of March. Your episode's coming out next month. But the thing is getting that in place, so we'll have that traffic there. But when your book goes out, I'll make sure to update your section on that on the site.
Great.
So people know exactly where to find that. So anybody who's listening right now, definitely keep your eye out for that, for Courtney's book, Creating Significance. Is coming, you said this summer is when the expected release is.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you again. This has been great. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And for everybody listening, thank you for being here. It's been an amazing deep dive talking about building brands and innovating and just the importance of that two-way relationship that you need to have online as you're promoting yourself, getting into that place of authenticity. Go back and re-listen to this episode. Get out a notepad. Definitely take some notes here, because I think that there's some really important takeaways that's going to help you in building your brand and taking your business to the next level. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on tomorrow's episode. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.